My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Okay, good evening. Am I on yet? Yes. Right, so let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as I bring these words this evening, Lord, they would be your words, and you would just open our hearts to receive your word tonight. Amen. So, first of all, I urge you to keep your Bibles open, because we'll be referring to the passage throughout the next few minutes. So, first of all, I'm going to start with a disclaimer, so you can't have a go at me later, okay? Always good to do that. So, about once a year, I have the pleasure of travelling to Africa for my work, supporting HIV-related projects. And this past week, I've been in Malawi and Tanzania. So, as I've been grappling with this topic, and on a physical journey, I've also been on a spiritual journey, and so the two are entwined, so I will be referencing that a few times. So apologies, I'm not trying to make you jealous, I'm not trying to make you whatever, just go with me, okay. So this is the second week in the series of the book of James, and it's part of a sermon series called Faith Works, Living Out What We Say We Believe. Now, last week, Jonathan talked about wisdom of another kind and gave two ways in which God was calling us to live. The first was about self-reliance. The wisdom of God is that some things in us have to die. The seed of self-reliance has to die. And if God doesn't show up, we're stuffed. But then, do we let him show up? And the second point he made was that the seed has to die before the fruit can grow. And the wisdom of God is that when those things in us die, like self-reliance, and we start to trust in him, we see the fruits of the Spirit emerge. And all this comes from just a mustard seed of faith. Now, a mustard seed is very small. Faith is quite a small word as well. But what is faith? And this evening we're going to be looking, delving a little bit more into what is faith. And using the straight-talking passage from James, we're going to say, look at three things. First is the concept of faith. Second is the characteristics of faith. And third is the change that happens through faith. There's the concept, the characteristics, and the change. So, next slide. The concept of faith. Now, faith in the English language has two different meanings. The first, as I walked out in Malawi to my plane to go to Tanzania, I saw this plane and went, ah, I haven't been in a twin prop plane for a while. Do they fly like the other ones? And you think, okay, then you think, oh, but what is a plane? It's just a metal tube and you fly, oh dear. And you start to think, what's faith? Next slide. So we have the faith that the plane will fly. We have faith that the sun will come up in the morning. We have faith that the train will arrive on time. Well, okay, well, maybe not. But sometimes faith is misplaced. So That's the first. The first meaning of faith is trust or confidence in something or someone. If you can just click on. The second meaning, if you click again, is more closely linked to religious belief. We cannot be 100% sure through our own observation or our own knowledge, but we believe and have the spiritual conviction that it's true. For example, Christianity. There's a certain amount of evidence. There's a certain amount of knowledge that Jesus lived on this earth. He died. He rose again. We have eyewitness accounts from those who saw the resurrected Jesus. We have good logical arguments that why would the disciples make this up? But Jesus said he was the Son of God. Well, if he wasn't, that's the mad, bad, or God argument. It's things that are covered on the Alpha Course. But we don't have DNA evidence. We don't like Thomas, who doubted. He then got to see Jesus, put his hand on the nail marks and his hand in the side and go, okay, yes, Jesus, you've risen. We don't get to do that. But we do have a personal relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, faith is the core to our relationship between God and man. So here's a little bit of theology, and it's a well-known passage on faith from Hebrews 11. So the passage starts, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is another translation. Faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So this means that trusting the God who made the world out of nothing, which goes into verse 3, believing in his existence, he rewarded those who earnestly sought him. But living a life of faith, the passage goes on to say, isn't easy, as it required them to go outside of their comfort zones and brought hardship. It brought suffering and shame, and it's abundantly illustrated in the Old Testament. Characters such as Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and a multitude of others. And they all displayed this faith, which, seeing him who is invisible, endured to the end. So those living under the Old Covenant, the time of the Old Testament, they hadn't yet seen the fulfillment of the promise in Jesus Christ. But their faith was to show itself in faithfulness to others, even when it meant uprooting from home and going somewhere else, even when it meant bringing hardship or persecution or difficulty. And now we have Christ. We're called to imitate his faith, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as a Christian, faith at its core is about a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about imitating Christ, about being Christ-like, to support and encourage those around us. But what does this faith look like when it's exhibited in our lives? Now, James deals with these practical matters in the passage we've read. And so we're going to look at the characteristics and then what life changed by faith looks like. So the next slide. So we're going to look. There are three characteristics that come out in the passage. So if you have your Bible still open, have a look. The first one is listening. Verse 19 says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Who finds it easier to talk than to listen? A few people strand straight up. Yeah, no, I'm the same. And I was even doing this earlier, is pretending to be listening on the phone. I'm checking my phone. I'm doing something else. And that's even worse. I'm listening, but I'm not listening. And I think I'm listening, but then I'm not. Or, but being a truly good listener, and it's difficult with our human interactions. I find it so much harder with God. But it's really important in building and maintaining relationships to listen to each other and to spend time with each other, especially those close to us. And it's the same in our relationship with God, taking time to seek the Lord, to pray, but also to listen. The second thing that James says, verse 21, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, have you heard the saying, you are what you eat? Our physical health depends on getting a balanced diet. Not too much of one food group, not too little. So it's balancing the carbohydrates, the fruit, the veg, the protein, the fats, etc. Well, our spiritual health is no different. We need to be careful because what goes in affects what comes out. What goes in? Well, what do we spend our time listening to? Who do we spend our time with? What do we spend our time watching on TV or films? Are these edifying our spiritual selves? Jonathan, one of the passages that he shared from Psalms earlier was, "Create in me a pure heart." James here is saying, get rid of all moral filth. Create in me a pure heart. And if you feel that, yeah, what's going in a lot actually isn't edifying, it isn't creating in me a pure heart, then critically assess this and make some changes. Next slide. The third thing is obedience. Do what the word says. So it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Verse 22. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So on Friday evening, I was stuck. If anyone's been to Dar es Salaam, you may in Tanzania, you know the traffic is awful. We got stuck in a traffic jam for a very long period of time, and I was seeing a Tanzanian friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a few years. We used to be prayer partners. Have the next slide. So this is Emmanuel. We used to be prayer partners while I was a teacher about 10 years ago. And we also went around the schools, and we went to the Christian unions and did some evangelistic talks, but we also did a bit of comedy and dance and drama and other things. And he got me to dress up in the national dress and dance around, and the kids found it hilarious. I saw some pictures recently, and I was like, oh my goodness, what do I do? But anyway, my wife had seen them before she married me, so it's okay. So while I was stuck in the car, because I was thinking about this topic, I said, okay, Ema, I'm talking on Sunday about faith obeys. What does it mean to you? And he just went off for 15 minutes and he just kept giving me stuff. From both scripture, but also personal experience of what faith means. And one of the things he spoke about was his own personal story. Now, we knew each other. He was in his early 20s. He was just finishing his A-levels when I first got to know him. And he was wondering about what to do with life. People said to him, oh, it's really important that you do something like a steady job. And he's like, oh, but he's a really funny guy and just loved entertaining. And he's like, no, you're never going to make any money doing that. Just go and, I don't know, study to be a teacher. And he's like, well, teaching's okay, I suppose. So he went and he studied for 2 years to become a teacher. He went off to teaching college. And he became a secondary school teacher. But he was teaching and he just was not satisfied. And he kept crying out, Lord, there must be more to this. I've got these talents, but I don't know how to use them. And he started travelling from Dodoma, where we were living, to Dar es Salaam, which is 7 hours away. It's a 7-hour bus ride. Whenever he could. And he began performing stand-up comedy at a number of events. And people liked what he was doing. But to travel 7 hours to do something, then to go back and to be teaching, it was really tough. And he said, and he was reading Isaiah 61, and it talks about the sovereign Lord filling Isaiah with his spirit to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and that the time has come. And Emma was convinced that he needed to take a bold step out in faith, give up his teaching job, and move to Dar es Salaam. So he told the headmaster at the school, they went, you're crazy, he told his friends. You'll never make it. You're funny, but you'll never make it. You'll starve. He told his mother. She said, do not do something so stupid. But he just felt this conviction, this calling in him. And he actually showed me his resignation letter. He had a picture of it. He said, I wrote this letter. And while he was driving, actually, which was slightly scary, but we were stuck. But he showed me this letter. And he moved to Dar es Salaam. He had hardly any money to his name. And he spent the first few weeks prayer walking around the city. He said he went to the beach every morning, got a plastic bottle, put some sand in it, and said, Lord, just give me this place. I want you to give me this place. And he said sometimes he couldn't sleep. He had this vision of the future that he'd have a radio show, his own radio show. He'd be a TV presenter. The Lord would give him the desires of his heart. And he didn't want to do it for fame or money. He just wanted to do it to use his talents that he felt were God-given and to really bless the Lord. First, he was tough. He rented a small room. He couldn't afford to buy furniture, so he slept on the floor. He just about afforded, had enough to eat. And then his big break came. And he picked me up in his car. He said, oh, come and meet me at a radio station. So I went. He has his own radio show. I was interviewed. My Swahili is awful. It was terrible. But anyway, he has a TV show. He's become a really well-known stand-up comedian in the country. It's really... And he's like... He's astounded. Absolutely astounded. And he's immensely successful in human terms. But he never did it for the money. And is working out ways to bless the most people possible and to support and mentor others. And so the next slide. So he has an office. And actually the motto of his company is at the top. It says, Si Mimi, Si Kipaji, Bali Ni Mungu Mwenyewe. Which literally translates as, it's not me, it's not my time, it's God's alone. Now, I'm sharing this story as it's a story of faith that it really impacted me. And I don't know about you, but from time to time, I meet Christians who just impact me, who I spend time with them and their enthusiasm rubs off. There's something about them that I'm like, wow, I just need to have that level of understanding or that faith or that just to go that extra step or to do that scary thing. And my desire is that one day I hope I'd be like that and my faith would rub off on others. But it's not promised it will be easy. Anyone found that? For example, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 to 9, says, but I will stay on at Ephesus. This is Paul talking. He says, I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. So he's basically saying, there's a good opportunity and it's going to be tough, so I'm staying. And he then goes on to say in verse 13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. It's tough, actually, to live out a life of faith. It's difficult. And that's why God calls us to obedience. So do you feel that God over the past few weeks, months, years has been telling you to do something that you've been resisting because it's difficult? What's the next step that you need to take? Is there someone that you feel the Lord is saying, invite them to Alpha? Or is there someone that you want to tell them you're a Christian but you're too afraid? Or you want to talk to them about Christianity, but you're too embarrassed, and it might become awkward between you. Is there something you feel the Lord's telling you to give up and stop doing because it's taking your time, energy, and focus away and putting you in the wrong direction? What's your response? Next slide. So, those are the characteristics of faith. Listening, holiness, and obedience. But this alone is not enough. So as I was talking with Emma in the car, he said something to me that was really profound and will always stay with me. He said, the most important part of a prayer is not that what's said during the prayer. It's what you do after the amen. The most important part of a prayer is not what's said before the amen. It's what you do after the amen. In other words, for your life to be changed through faith and to exhibit the characteristics of faith, requires action. Faith is manifested by action. And I'm not talking here about faith through works. If you work hard, you'll be saved. If you don't work hard, you won't. That's a lie because faith alone is sufficient. But faith itself is crying out for you to do something to exhibit that faith. The characteristics of faith, listening, holiness and obedience manifest themselves in action. For example, if you're pregnant or your partner's pregnant, you'll get ready for the baby that's coming because you believe that one day there will be a baby. Even though at the beginning you can't feel it, you can't see it, but you know that it's coming. We're heading heavenwards, but are we getting ourselves ready? Whilst we're here on earth, are we living out our faith as we should? But faith doesn't just require action on the personal level, but also at the corporate level. The passage from James deals with this in verse 26 and 27. And I really like the Message translation of this. It says, "Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless, the loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world." Our faith requires action. It requires action in our personal lives and stepping out in faith. But it also requires reaching out to those around us, the homeless, the poor, the needy. Now, in our global 24-hour news culture, we're constantly being bombarded with pictures of suffering and war and strife around the world. And it's really easy to become complacent in that. But who is God through the Holy Spirit prompting you to reach out to? What's he calling you to do? Perhaps it's giving some of your time to volunteer, to visit the nursing home with others from the church, or giving some of your time to help out with CAP, Christians Against Poverty. Maybe it's supporting an organisation or a person financially. Maybe it's writing to your MP or signing a petition regarding the ongoing migrant refugee situation. Don't think that anything you do is insignificant. It's like, oh, it won't change anything. Because whilst it's small in the grand scheme of things, small things can make a difference. As someone once said in the sermon illustration I heard, one snowflake, you can just crush it in your hand. Many snowflakes can bring a city to a complete standstill. So in conclusion, next slide, to sum up, is God challenging you about your faith today? Or as Jonathan asked, what do you, at the beginning of the service, what do you feel God wants you to do differently? Is it something in your own life to improve the relationship between yourself and God through the Holy Spirit? Is it listening better? Is it asking for forgiveness for sin and striving to be more Christ-like? Is it being obedient to the call of Christ? Is it giving your time or money or support to a particular cause or organization? Is it everything above? Is it something else? Now, if you feel that stirring of the Holy Spirit in your belly as I'm saying this, and when that happens to me, it's really uncomfortable. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Don't ignore it. Find someone you trust to pray with, or come to one of the clergy after the service and ask if you can have prayer. But don't forget, the most important part of a prayer is not what's said before the amen, but it's what you do after the amen. So after this service, let's go in faith to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Right, now I said amen, let's begin.